Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
Some of your texts to 51551 in relation to my conversation with Geoffrey Donaldson just before the news there. One person says, Geoffrey says this would only apply to overseas territories, this being a requirement to have a negative PCR test. The texter says, does he realise that the Republic of Ireland isn't over an EC from Northern Ireland, but Britain is? Another person has tweeted the programme to say, does Geoffrey Donaldson not realise that Northern Ireland had to be treated differently to Scotland, England and Wales because at the time of Brexit, it potentially formed the only external land border with the EU. Well, I did put that point to him, but he insisted that that shouldn't have made the or caused the problems that are currently in place. Now, do stay with us because with the number of people in hospital with COVID now twice what it was during the first wave, we'll be hearing from a consultant in emergency medicine about the current state of COVID in our hospitals.
Nothing compares to a real holiday with TUI, especially when you know that everything's taken care of. Thanks to the TUI Holiday Promise, you can be sure of complete flexibility with free amends. And you'll get a refund if your holiday can't go ahead. Plus, we have thousands of free child places to give away. Book your next holiday with confidence. Nothing compares. TUI. Discover your smile. T's and C's apply.
Make the most of every driving moment, however short these journeys are for now. Surround yourself with comfort, style, and innovation. Choose from the award-winning range of Peugeot SUVs, the 2008 and fully electric E2008, the all-new 3008, petrol, diesel, or plug-in hybrid, and the new 5008 with 7 seats, and all with our unique iCockpit interior. Visit Peugeot.ie for more. Peugeot. Unboring the future.
One country, many voices.
People constantly contest the existence of racism.
The voices and stories of black and Irish people.
I remember I'd sit on the back of the bus and I'd wish somebody would ring me so people could hear that I had an accent from Blanche.
The Black and Irish Podcast.
A lot of time growing up it was about making people like me. Now I find myself, I wouldn't say empowered, I am black. I've accepted I'm black.
Listen now on rte.ie/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Text 51551. Drive time on RTE Radio 1.
Well, as we heard earlier, the number of people being admitted to hospital with COVID now stands at 1,792, which is twice what it was during the first wave of the virus, according to HSE CEO Paul Reid. The numbers in intensive care has also passed the first wave and is now at 169, exceeding the first peak, which was 160. Well, Emily O'Connor is a consultant in emergency medicine at Connolly Hospital, and she joins me now on the line. And Emily, those numbers being admitted to hospitals generally, it's up 80% within the week, according to Paul Reid. How is Connolly Hospital coping?
We're doing okay at the moment. There is a feeling through emergency medicine and hospitals around the country that things are tight. And I think we're all aware, and unfortunately, as are the general public, that bed capacity and particularly ICU capacity is being stretched. Today in Connolly, we're doing well. There are still plenty of patients coming into emergency departments, which is good, but the numbers attending EDs are down compared to this time last year. Huge efforts have gone in hospitals to splitting COVID from non-COVID pathways, and there's a lot of work going on and a lot of good cooperation from consultant colleagues to cancel other patient care so that we can get patients with COVID or respiratory failure into hospitals. But the place is tight, yes.
As you say, the attendance at emergency department is down in Connolly Hospital. Mm-hmm. I think that is mirrored across the country, in terms of the national picture. I wonder what your thoughts are on that. Obviously, with the hospital so stretched, it's helpful not to have people coming into emergency departments if they don't need to. But would you be concerned that there are people not coming that do need to?
Of course we are. I mean, definitely during the first wave, the reduced number of attendances at the emergency departments, it did help us cope, particularly when we were trying to set up all the separate COVID pathways of care. But as we know now, there were patients who missed out on emergency care because they didn't come to ED. So yes, we still want patients to come to emergency departments with an emergency or other conditions. But there are patients who aren't attending emergency departments who are obviously trying to find care in other venues, and that is good also. Thanks to our GP colleagues, the COVID hubs, and also patients that are trying to sort themselves out at home. We are grateful for that too.
You mentioned it being very tight in terms of capacity. What we heard from Paul Reid earlier is that the worst may yet be to come in terms of the numbers in hospital. I think the figures of people testing positive is falling, but the lag obviously is there, and the hospitalizations may yet well rise.
How tight are you? So we would love to think that we're nearing the peak. As you know, the level of people who need hospital care is dependent on the number infected in the community. We don't feel we're at the peak yet. We would love to think it's levelling off, but you're quite right to say that it probably takes maybe 2 to 3 weeks for it to peak in the hospital after it's peaked in the community. So we're not drawing breath yet. We do feel like we're treading water. Here in Connolly, we're making things work at the moment, but we are working on very tight bed capacity and very tight ICU capacity. But just, I think people, there's lots of people sitting out there in the community who have COVID at the moment, and they're trying to manage themselves at home. And I see patients all the time who are really scared when we talk about ICU capacity. So just to say to people that, you know, the mass majority of people who even come into an emergency department with COVID symptoms and respiratory symptoms do get to go home again. And lots of patients, even if they come into hospital, are managed very successfully outside the ECU, outside the ICU. We can give really high flow oxygen at ward level now, and today we have managed to get patients up to the ICU who have needed it. So there's huge efforts going on to get people to the right place. So I don't want to make people too scared out there either.
Okay, but how is your ICU in terms of capacity?
We're full, but there's enormous work going on to increase that bed capacity in the ICU. Our intensivists are working across several areas, and I'm hopefully going into this evening with the feeling that even if patients come into Connolly tonight, that we're still going to be able to look after them.
I know there is a piece in the Irish Independent today quoting nurses who had concerns about being brought into the ICU environment, being asked to work in ICU when they didn't have training, and saying, you know, you're just faced with a ventilator and you've never used a ventilator before. Would you have those similar concerns?
I think so. Just to add into that, we've all the NCHDs and all consultant doctors in the country have moved jobs this week. So there is an awful lot of learning and training going on in hospitals all around the country at the moment. I wouldn't think that any individual would be left managing a ventilator solo without anyone to ask for help. I think all these patients are managed as a team effort. And at the moment, definitely what I've seen today, you have large numbers of hands and great expertise looking after people on ventilators. We don't want to get to when we're not at the level yet where we're looking at patients being isolated, being looked after by inexperienced nurses. I don't think we're there yet.
Tánaiste Leo Varadkar has been speaking this evening, and he has said that we will be able to ease the lockdown restrictions when we get the ICU numbers below 50. As I said, now they're currently at 169 and may well go up from there, given what Paul Reid has said. I don't know, Emily, could you give us any indication in your view as to how, and perhaps this is an impossible question I'm asking you, but as to how long that might take, given COVID patients tend to stay longer in ICU than average patients?
I mean, that's the thing. We feel at the moment that once patients go into ICU, many of them stay a long time. So once our capacity is reached, I think we're going to get into the very difficult phase. I can't give you a timescale, but we are thinking, me and my colleagues here are thinking, we still have several weeks to go of this before we can draw breath.
Okay.
Can I just add at the moment, if there's anyone listening out there, the best way you can help us is to not get infected in the next week or two. We really feel we can keep going as long as we can see an end to this wave. But if we see the numbers going on and on and on, staying this high, the pressure on the hospitals is going to continue, and we're not going to be able to get routine and non-emergency care back online. So, because it's not just COVID patients who need ICU, it's patients with all sorts of other conditions, patients who have had major surgery, and a lot of that activity has had to stop. So we need the levels to go down in the community to take the pressure off the hospitals.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Thanks, to give Sarah. Us that sense of what's going on the ground there. That's Emily O'Connor, who is a consultant in emergency medicine at Connolly Hospital. We'll take a quick break.